You're listening to The Threshing Floor.
Welcome once again to The Threshing Floor. My name's Randy Moggins. It's Thanksgiving again. And the name of the show is called Positivity. And it may seem like an odd title, but I think we go through what I want to talk about today. Maybe it'll help lend a bit more meaning to this day if you hear it on Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter because the subject is timeless, and actually what I want to talk about has less to do with a day than it does with a state of being. The problem with holidays like this is that we take the day for granted and miss the opportunities they hold for some real extensions of positive expression. We live in a swarm of negativity, largely because we feed on the dark energy of the world's spirits. I look at the emails I get from so-called Christians, and they literally mine the daily headlines for wars, rumors of wars, famines, shortages, horrible events, personal catastrophes, and general malaise. And those are the Christian ministers. I have people who never send out anything but more war stories. Any moment now, Iran will have nukes. Look what's going on in Israel. The commies have taken over the country. People, it's a gloom fest out there. And some of you are so miserable, you want Armageddon to happen just so you can prove your own worldview. Sad thing is, for people with that mindset, this really is a miserable planet, and they make it miserable for everyone else. And now that's a religion I want to follow. How about you? The idea of Thanksgiving, let's call it gratitude, is not supposed to be a day, but an ever-present state of deliberate blessing. What is often called a benediction, to literally speak or invoke blessings. Religion put the benediction at the end of the church service when some black-robed cleric stands up and recites a canned litany, usually a hollowed, murmured platitude. And if the offering plates were a bit light, probably with a curse in its heart. Some people walk around peppering their casual conversations with praise God and thank you Jesus or some other annoying religious tripe. when what they radiate is more resignation to how things really do suck. So marrying words of faith to unbelief, they become scoffers of any blessing that accidentally finds them. The worst offenders of any form of gratitude are the ones who are the most privileged, the proud, haughty, materialists, who measure life by possessions, acquisitions, money, and power. For them, the holidays are just another occasion to throw more logs on the fires of condemnation. Not only do they not give thanks, but they presume that they actually deserve all their material blessings. And beyond deserving, they actually demand that the world acknowledge their entitlement. Sadly, for most of the world, the Western world at least, Thanksgiving, and this is the American version since today is a distinctly American invention, it's just the beginning salvo for the big season of materialism, Christmas. Ah, yes, Christmas, how could we forget that? Time to prime the pump for that uniquely Western gala of endless consumerism and wanton gluttony, complete with endless varieties of more stuff. And I struggle with this. I would like to actually like Christmas. I have a friend, a Christian minister, who strongly disagrees with me over Christmas. He will acknowledge that, no, it's not Jesus' birthday, and yes, people use it to prime the pumps of commerce, but somehow it's okay because it promotes giving and family togetherness. I've actually felt bad at times. I think we can be just as religious, just as self-righteous by not celebrating, and by trotting out all the pagan symbolisms attached to Christmas. We can actually become the same negative force about these holidays as if we embrace them. Many people, even people I really like, have a self-righteous attitude about not celebrating Christmas. Some will even infer that you might even be cursed by such a celebration, and so in their hearts they employ a tactic I call spiritual one-upmanship. To balance the argument, let me say this. You're not blessed or cursed by anything you celebrate or do not celebrate. Christmas is a pagan celebration. Just go look at the history of the winter solstice and the Bacchanalia. But there are no, and I repeat, no Christian holidays. The best we can ever do is try to follow the old Jewish feasts, and good luck with that. We tried that on this show years ago with the Lord's calendar. The problem is that these feasts have little or no relevance to us now. We're far removed from the original culture, and we lack any way of even knowing when these things should actually be celebrated. Then we wind up in bondage to calendars, moon cycles, and arcane relics of meaningless symbols. We do not live in agricultural societies anymore, with the exception of a few of you who do still farm and garden. So as it turns out, there are strong hints that even those Jewish celebrations were borrowed, which is a nice way of putting it, by the Hebrews from the ancient Sumerians, Egyptians, and Babylonian festivals, from the worshipping of Molech and Baal, and that animal sacrifice was never really part of Yahweh's plan either. So at the end of the day, what we really have are traditions, largely hollow, meaningless rituals. Of course, we are much nicer now. We don't really sacrifice children to Baal. We send them off to non-profit corporations like churches for that, or to a certain charity at Penn State University, and there's some really dark things going to come out of that affair. So eating a large 5-course meal and then watching football games doesn't seem so bad, and honestly, it is American. We love our games of competitive achievement. And sports really is nothing more than the new games of the gods, so Welcome to the New Olympia. The only form of celebration that Christians have now is called communion, the Lord's Supper. The Catholic and a few of the other old-line, I guess you would call them high churches, call it Eucharist. And that is actually fitting to call it such. It is defined as a spiritual communion with God. The word comes from the Greek Eucharistos, meaning grateful, grace, and gratitude. And that was the only celebration instituted by Jesus. And he said, do this as often as you will. No calendar, no moons to plot, no need to worry if the barley is sprouted, no red heifers. Just do this in my name and recall that on this show, name means in the nature and character of God, not the literal name, which, you know, Jesus, Yeshua, God, Yahweh, whatever. So today, Thanksgiving here in the U.S., and for you listeners outside the U.S., sorry, but this show does have a message for you, so hang in with me here. It seems to be as close as we get to any such formal holiday, but only if we can get back to the heart mode. The purpose of the feasts in the Hebrew lore were to picture the work of Yahweh. The Passover, for instance, pictured deliverance from slavery, pictured as Egypt, to freedom, the defeat of the enemy by miraculous means, and to foreshadow the work of the coming Messiah. Paul, in a letter to the Corinthians, parallels Passover to the cup of the Lord, the communion or the Eucharist, and the early love feasts of the church. And that went rather bad quickly, as Paul rebuked them in those letters for their gluttony and selfishness. Jude also noted that the feasts of charity, as he called them, were spoiled by unrighteousness and fellow celebrants who were less than saintly. You can find that over in Jude 1:12. Jesus decried the scribes when he said, describing them as those which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats of the synagogues and the chief rooms at the feasts. So nothing is new in any of these celebrations. They all become occasions for vanity, gluttony, and self-serving. All the negatives of unrepentant humanity are magnified by events where celebrations take on materialism and carnality. The real reason for even celebrating a holiday from the perspective of a true heart towards God is to elevate the heart towards Creator with gratitude and reverence. Jesus presented this as returning to manifest blessing of our fellow beings. In Matthew 25:31, we see this pictured, and he says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto him on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done this unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Manifest blessing, or what I call positivity, is not just feeding and clothing, sheltering and comforting. This all comes down to something more subtle and far weightier. Our manifest presence of a positive force, the shining light of God in our hearts, not on some holiday when all may witness it, not the phony cheer the grinning baboons with their Hallmark Christmas decorations. Certainly not by tanking up on a big meal in preparation for being mind-controlled into maxing out the Visa card in the name of commerce, also known as Christmas, and the gods of the fatted turkey. It's not about that at all. It's about something much bigger, something much larger, and something that goes beyond legalism, and something that goes beyond ourselves. It is something that we can begin to manifest, and it is a positivity. Take a break here and come back on the other side. Talk a little bit more about Thanksgiving, about gratitude, and the positivity of being in the spirit of the light of God.
If you're there when the world neither me nor if you're there, I will be blessed.
Welcome back to the other side of the threshing floor for Thanksgiving 2011. My name's Randy Moggins. How do we manifest the positivity of God? How do we get to the place where we walk in abundance of grace and peace? What really needs to happen is that we, who are the light, who are bringers of the gospel of peace, begin to earnestly start carrying positivity into every place we tread. Do you want to open a true gift? Try opening up your heart, the one that vibrates in sync, the oneness of the Creator. It's the rhythm of the universe. It's the heart chakra. We are energetic beings who manifest the frequencies within. This was the pure message of Jesus. People were attracted to him. He gathered crowds because he emanated a higher frequency. That frequency was one of total light. It was a frequency of healing, of wholeness, assurance, deliverance. Evidence of a loving God who sent a messenger. A God who gives gifts purely from the act of his own being. The book of James says it well. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Father of lights desired so much for his children to be likewise that he sent an example, a singular being who would be evidence of God's will toward all men in substance. Light is positive. It is the only active principle of movement, as it is pure energy. In the universe, all created things are born of the positive expression of this God's willful desire to create. James makes the very clear distinction that in him is no wavering. The word is translated as variableness. There is no darkness, no negative movement, no negative or dark energy. God is always outwardly emanating in a straight line as the endless source of all things created. Jesus used the word hypocrite to describe the Pharisees and scribes. The word means imposter or an actor, literally. He expands that a bit in Matthew 23, where he says that these so-called holy men, quote, devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. In other words, they show up for Thanksgiving dinner, bore the hell out of everyone with their long dinner blessing, then go off to repossess a house. Gosh, nothing changes in human nature. I bet a lot of these bankers from Citibank, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Goldman Sachs do a nice mazel tov before they go off to gorge themselves on the monies they've stolen from the working people. This is why, by the way, you have Occupy Wall Street. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Nothing inside of us that's negative works towards the positiveness, the positivity of the Father. Everything within us that radiates a negative force, a spirit of separation, does not work to the will of Creator of all. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness," that's a big word for put aside all of your unclean thoughts, all of your selfishness, all of your bad behavior, "and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." And stop here for a second and notice engrafted word. This is not the legalism of the law or even the Bible scriptures. This is the word, the outwardly expanding creative word, the original source, which James calls the Father of Lights. And he continues, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Notice it says being blessed in his deed. What is this perfect law of liberty, and what does it have to do with thanksgiving? It has everything to do with it. Jesus, in his kickoff speech for his ministry, says in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord," quoting Isaiah 61. Yeshua declares this as his mission statement. A few years later, he would be called to task by John the Harbinger, who was imprisoned by Herod and soon to be executed. Luke outlines this in the second chapter, where it says, "And John, calling unto two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? When the men were come unto him," Jesus, "they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering unto them said, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. This John, whom Jesus said was the spirit of Elijah, the same whom baptized Jesus and witnessed his transfiguration, who then sat in Herod's prison by the hand of Herod's adulterous mistress, had doubts. Did Jesus spring John from jail or prevent his demise? No. The evidence of this Messiah was delivered in proofs of his works, his manifestation of the outwardly directed force of the Creator. The outward signs were a token of the inner light of the heart of the Christ, as an example of how we are to manifest the love, the light, the positivity of the Father back into the realm of human beings. Humans who struggle under cruel masters, afflicted with diseases, beset by devils, tempted by greed that inhabits the atmosphere, utterly dark in their religions. We are to be the evidence of this Messiah to the darkened world of today, manifesting inside us the willful purpose of God toward mankind, first in our hearts, our intentions, our constant state of grace, and abiding in the presence of God through gratitude. There is an energy transfer that begins within this energetic heart, the workings of which become physical, but not of our efforts, but by our very willingness to bear light, peace, grace. The positivity of the Creator is an outward force within us. Ephesians 4:4 says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism." Don't get religious with this part. Baptism is a mystical concept. It continues one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It would appear as though that measure, the gift, is infinite, even as he was infinite. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So today you can celebrate anything. Let it be a resolve to go forward with love and peace of God in your heart. Let that simple proposition that the light which was manifest in the Christ be manifest in me. Put aside your religious conceits. Put away the clamor of the days. Begin to dwell in the movement of the Creator, which is perfect stillness, manifesting light and energetic force that moves you from your inward heart, the inner sun, the inner S-O-N, moving outward. Let our prayer be this, that every day we would meditate on the perfect gifts of the Father of lights, the joy and thanksgiving toward all men, and that this energetic of thanks would manifest through us to set captives free and give gifts unto men. In this, we exalt Creator by being the conduits of the positivity of the living God forever. This is the Threshing Floor for Thanksgiving Day, 2011. The light is out there, it's inside you. Go forth and manifest the positivity of the Father of Lights. Happy Thanksgiving.
Necessary. I am happy.